hopefully our conversation will live up to the hype.
Hey guys, welcome to another amazing and blessed week with Freedom of Truth. Today I'm at the comfort of my own home with one of my favorite girls. You guys will soon meet in a little while. Her name is Valerie D. Maria, and she's a very special girl to me, and you guys will hear as we go. But before we go into the story, I just want to thank all the listeners again for tuning in. I'm getting amazing views, and I'm so grateful because this show, Freedom of Truth, is all about helping and inspiring. I'm literally taking my time to make myself vulnerable, and the guests, I'm grateful and honored that they're letting themselves be vulnerable just so they can help others who listen in, because people are just not being real these days. People are not being open about their situations, and at the end of the day, we're here for a brief moment in life, and if we can't let our stories inspire other people, what are we really good for? That's just the way I feel. I feel like everything that we've gone through in our life, good or bad, shouldn't go in vain. It should be shared. So that's the whole grounds for Freedom of Truth. So again, guys, without further ado, Valerie D. Maria.
I think to start it off, I'm just gonna dive right in and share a poem. And I wrote this poem while I had cancer. I was diagnosed with a rare form of muscle cancer. It was a synovial sarcoma. And at the time, I was in a relationship, living in with a boyfriend. It was a toxic relationship. So I'm gonna dive into the poem so you can just get an idea of like what I was going through and how I was feeling, being mixed and other issues that I've had growing up. I had a lot of lack of self-love and self-confidence. So to go from that to being bald and going through cancer and chemo, it was like, I'll just get into it. I don't know.
No, so that's good. So she's opening up, guys, with a poem. Like I said, she's a woman of many talents.
Thank you.
Yeah, and we're going to go into, so they can understand why did you get to this point? Because it was a lot of hurt and pain, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
So she just was explaining about her cancer and everything. So go ahead.
I wrote this while I was actually sick, and I saved it over the years. This is probably back in 2008. I was 2008 or 2009, but here it goes. I used to think that I was ugly. Now I see how it looks to be dead. I used to cry if my hair wasn't perfect, but now I have no hair on my head. I used to be suicidal. I would always cry. In the past, I would pray to die. Now all I want is to live. I'm not ready to say goodbye. All of my hair is gone. My body is completely naked. I can barely walk. I am sick. I just can't take it. They stuck a port in my chest. I still have the scars, by the way. But they stuck a port in my chest. I can't eat or sleep. Only nightmares when I rest. Two types of chemo, day and night. Blood transfusions and radiation each day. For life is a battle I fight. My skin is darkened, black blotches on my tongue, my nails are black and blue. Yes, these are side effects that chemotherapy will do to you. People don't understand, they laugh or stare. It's ignorance, they don't understand or care, or maybe they're just unaware. I look physically weak, but don't let that deceive you. This is the strongest that I have ever been, thanks to him. The Most High is my guide. I've learned so much from these tribulations. The Most High is on my side. Don't feel sorry for me like the rest. This has all made me a strong woman and has changed me for the best. So I wrote that. What I was going through, I remember being very tired all the time from the radiation and the treatments. I remember I was with a bunch of children that had cancer. Like, you always hear about cancer, but you never think, oh, that could happen to me. And just randomly, just a big lump on my leg just started growing, and it grew really big and really quick. I was having problems getting to the hospital. We always had to pay my ex-boyfriend's sister money to bring me, and I remember she actually kicked us out the day before I was supposed to get like surgery, and then we had to go, we were in Staten Island, we had to go all the way back to the Bronx, and we had no money. I wasn't working, and he was working for her, so we were both like struggling on top of struggle. And I thought, oh, maybe it's a cyst, or it's just, you know, I didn't think it was anything too serious. But I remember it got so big to the point where I couldn't wear jeans. It looked like I always had something in my pocket. I remember I still had my YouTube channel going, and I didn't let it stop me. I kept doing my dance videos, and because that's how my YouTube started, is Crazy Mix Cutie.
Oh, cool.
So I still did some dance videos. I had a lot of people, you know, praying for me and hoping the best for me. But I remember when I actually did find out that it was cancer, they told me over the phone. I don't think they're really supposed to do that.
No,
but they told me over the phone, so I ran away. I went back to the Bronx. I wanted to be with my ex-boyfriend at the time, my boyfriend at the time. And I remember when I actually did start the treatments, I surprisingly took it well. Like, when I first noticed my hair was falling out from the chemo and all that, I remember I cried just that once, and he cried with me. But after that, I just made a joke out of it. I remember we went to Harlem. They have East River Day and stuff like that, which was, but it was not good for me. I ended up going home, and I remember I just like pulled all my hair out. Like, and I was bald, and I had patches, and I didn't care.
You could literally just pull it out. That's
yeah,
how
it was just like
it was just coming out.
Yeah, and then this is coming from somebody that, growing up, I'm as a mixed woman, like black and white, and a bunch of other stuff. See racism in the black community and in the white community, and within your own family. So I grew up with a lot of self-esteem issues. I used to smile like this in all my pictures. Like, I'll go like this. Looked ridiculous. Because I felt like my lips were too big.
Wow.
Sometimes I thought maybe if my skin was lighter, my grandma would love me more, or I'd be treated differently. And she didn't know how to deal with my hair. Because my grandmother, she's Greek and French. And so she's basically white.
Mm. So your grandma, you lived with your grandmother?
Yeah, I was raised. Okay. I didn't have either one of my parents.
Okay.
I always wanted to be with them, but that's another story.
Yeah,
it was hard. Like, I already had like that hurt from not having my mother, not having my father. Being raised by my grandmother, I loved her, but it's not the same thing. Nobody could replace your mom,
mom
or your dad.
Dad.
But and then, you know, being, you know,
yeah, you were going on that path of, you know, just being mixed, having all the different cultures, your grandma not knowing how to
do my hair. She put perms in my hair when I was literally like 2 years old.
Okay.
And I liked it because I felt like, oh, I look like Barbie now. And I would sit in front of the mirror, and I was actually able to comb through my hair. And it made me feel like, oh, this is what pretty is. Yeah.
It was really thick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was really curly, and she didn't know what to do with it. Even my grandfather used to say, oh, you need to, I forgot what he said, put some type of goat straightener. I don't know what he said. I don't know. It was really bad. He used to say, you need to get your hair thinned out or something like that. And I was just like.
And as a little child, you didn't know. You know, you didn't, you just thought, well, I mean, what did you think? I'm thinking.
Well,
like,
I thought.
Because you knew your mom, because what is your mom? Is she,
my mother is a beautiful, dark, dark-skinned woman.
Okay, so your mom's black.
Yes.
African-American.
Yes,
Cherokee
Indian.
Because, you know, the listeners don't know. So
yes.
She's black.
Yeah.
Okay, and your dad is
Sicilian, good. Greek, French. My grandma says we're little English, and wow. I don't know, a whole bunch of stuff, like Italian, you know.
Yeah, right. So
yeah.
A whole bunch of little bit of mixtures of everything.
Yeah, my last name's like Italian.
Oh, yeah.
Di Maria.
Yeah. Which I think is absolutely pretty.
Oh, thank you.
Sounds like, to me, like, it's like, like somebody that's gonna be famous, like a famous name, like Valerie D. Maria. Like, it's just pretty. Like, says something. But here it is, a young girl, a child, because you know when we're young, we're born into innocence, we don't know. And your mom is African-American, your dad is mixed with, you know, French and Sicily, and you know, a whole bunch of stuff. And here it is, this innocent young girl, raised into a family like that, that to me sounds like innocently doesn't really know. You know, they came together, they were in love, your mom and dad, and then had you and whatever happened, you know, and why, you know, we don't have to get into that. That's another story, guys. but you're just trying to make it in life, it sounds
like. They were both really young. Like, my dad was 19 when he had me, and they tried to make it work, but sometimes things don't work out.
Okay.
And then, you know, my mom, they both lost in court to my grandmother, and then she raised me. So I was brought up in, like, a white neighborhood. I was the only Black girl, like, in my grade, I remember, and I knew I wasn't even, like, you know how people consider fully Black or whatever you want to say, because, you know, the kids at school, they'd be like, are you adopted? Because my grandmother's, like, pale skin and blonde hair, and they look at me and they're like, that, what? Not even thinking, like, how that would make me feel. They're just a kid. They didn't get it.
Yeah, they don't know.
I mean, sorry.
No, no, because this is you. This is you.
Okay.
I want you to talk. But I'm just trying to, I'm only coming in because I'm thinking about maybe what the listeners might be interested
right.
while as you're going. Like, and this is happening so much, I feel. Like, people, like, someone that's listening, that's been in your situation or going in, you know, that's in your situation right now, it's really not your fault. Like,
right.
here it is, you're being raised and in the middle of people just trying to figure it out, but where does that leave you?
Right. I remember my next door neighbor, I'd play with her. She was in my house, and my grandmother loves to watch her soap operas. We still watch them to this day, Bold and the Beautiful, Young and the Restless. But so it was a couple, one was Black, one was white, and they were in love, and I'm not going to say names, but my neighbor, she was like, oh, that's disgusting, and this and that, and, like, you know, it's what you're taught, like, oh, that's nasty, a Black person, a white person, and I kind of, like, got defensive, and I was like, well, my dad is white, my mom is Black, they're both humans, if it wasn't natural, I probably wouldn't be born.
I'm a product of that, what's wrong with me?
Right. And honestly, I feel like we're all mixed with something.
Yeah, we are.
You know?
Definitely.
But, yeah, I had to deal with stuff like that. And I was never around, like, Black people. Like, in my childhood, I wasn't around Black people. So I remember one time my grandmother brought me to church. And it was so bad that I was like, Grandma, everyone here is Black. And she was like, she thought it was hilarious. And it really wasn't funny. I should be around,
right?
You know, all types of people. But I just was never surrounded by people that look like me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I was a little scared. And I was never used to it. And then from being deprived of that part of me, growing up, I rebelled and dated a dark-skinned man. I have a dark-skinned baby girl. And I have a son. And my grandma never understood, like, oh, why don't you date white guys and stuff like that? And it's just
because you kind of took that, well, not meaningfully, but it's like she took that part away from you, not knowing. So now as you grow older, you're like, I want to know that part of me. So I'm going to be with someone that's dark. Everything that you guys told me that you tried to stay away from.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Like, I was taught not to listen to rap music and stuff like that. I thought it was bad. I didn't know why. I was just being conditioned. And then, like, I remember when Jadakiss' song Knock Yourself Out came out. I was like, ooh, I like this.
It's ready in your soul.
And
like,
I remember, what's the main model? Melissa Ford. I drew her. I was like, oh, she's so beautiful. I drew her, Black woman.
Yes, I know.
And that's when I started to think for myself, but I'd, like, secretly, like, you know, listen to certain things, and I wouldn't be, like, my true self around her at times. Like, so it was hard. Like,
But don't you find it amazing that no matter what people try to make you not to be, it's in you already? Like, even though you were raised in being mainly around Caucasian people and being taught, like, that, you know, not your African-American side of you, like, it, you still was drawn to that because it's who you are. Like, no one can truly change who we are as people. And I'm just saying that because it's something I'm going to say towards the ending of our show.
That's true. And I remember even being, you think, oh, maybe it's lighter or the grass is greener on the other side. It's actually not. Mm-hmm. With my ex-boyfriend's family, I remember a Thanksgiving and they're all like trying to figure out what I am. And I'm like, oh, she looks like a light-skinned black girl. Oh, but her nose is so pointy. Like, she looks white. No, like they're all like picking at me, like trying to like talk about me. And then it got to the point where he had to step in and he was like, oh, that's racist, like, leave her alone, you know, and he just jumped in and made them stop talking about me. And then there's all these stereotypes, like, oh, light-skinned girls don't check their messages, oh, they're stuck up, they think they're better. No, that's what society paints out, like, light skin is more beautiful, they give light-skinned women more roles and stuff like that, and that's just society, that's it's just not society. Really, like, but the problem in the black community is that they, how do I put this? They accept these stereotypes and they define themselves behind stereotypes. And I noticed that. And I'm like, another thing I'll get, like, oh, you talk white or you sound white. And that would get under my skin so badly because I would think to myself, like, how do you sound like a color? Like, this is orange. What does orange sound like? You can't put a group of people in a category because not everybody is the same. There's white people that sound completely ignorant and talk with slang or whatever the case may be. And then there's, you know, and by saying, oh, you sound white, you're disrespecting yourself. You're saying, because I'm speaking without slang, you're saying, oh, you're not talking dumb enough.
Because you're talking proper English.
Yeah.
And you're like black people, there's exactly. And that's
plenty
so sad.
Of black people that speak.
Trust me, like, because.
With intelligence. And
exactly. Like, so what is that? Like, it's almost like a black person that says that to you is basically disrespecting themselves.
And it's like they don't know their history.
Exactly.
Because they used to forbid black people to read books. They didn't want them to read and speak proper and to have an education because a person with knowledge has power.
Exactly.
So why accept things that were given to us, like, oh, titles, like, oh, I don't know how to really word it. Like,
no, I feel like you're wording it just right. Like, where I'm raising my children is predominantly white, and I have my daughter who speaks the proper English. She was raised in an amazing school district, and when she gets around, you know, in the city, kids, they say, "Why does Praise talk like she's white?" And I'm like. Like you said, I was like,
it's just stupid.
That is the most ignorant thing that I've ever heard.
I've heard some hood, mind me, but I've heard some hood white people. It has nothing to do with their color. It's because they're raised in the hood. Just like some, there's some
just
white
like
people.
Just like there's Caucasian people in the hood.
And that's just how they naturally talk. And then other people are raised and brought up differently. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just like, everybody's different. You can't just say, oh, you're white, you sound white, or blah, blah, blah. It's just,
you know what comes to my mind?
I don't get that.
It's that wherever you're raised, you're a product of your environment.
Right.
So you were raised up where we live is Bedford Hills, New York. It's a great school district. It's everyone that wants the best things in life. And it's a great environment. So you're a product of their environment. My daughter, my children are products of their environment. I was raised in the hood, and I'll talk, yo, what up, yeah, blah, 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 whatever. And then I can get in a different environment, because I don't even want to just say predominantly white environment, because I've been in white environments where they talk that slang too. You know what I mean? So, but I can switch it up, because unfortunately, we're in a world where we live in a, people are very ignorant to the fact that talking proper is not a white thing. It's not a black thing.
Right.
It's just talking proper English, guys. That's it.
However you want to express yourself.
Exactly.
Like, and it's just like expressing yourself isn't a color. It's
not.
it's just human.
You said it best. Like, expressing yourself isn't a color.
Yeah, it's not. And then, like, I get a lot too, like, oh, you talk white, but you dance black. I dance black because I know how to twerk. I know how to shake my butt. Not all black people twerk. Not all black people dance like that. Some black people tap dance. You know, the singer Maya, she was a tap dancer. That's not black, that's white. Because that, it's
exactly,
it's
just, like, it's just, what's going on here?
It's just how you express yourself. It's self-expression. Like, it's not,
it's
I don't know.
It's sad, and I'm happy. I think this is a really great topic, because it is sad. It's so racial, because at the end of the, it's so racist, I should say, I'm sorry. It's so racist, because at the end of the day, we are who we are, and we are a product of our environment. And if you were raised where everybody's speaking one way, that's how you're going to speak. If you were raised where everyone's talking proper English, that's what it's going to be. It has nothing to do with color.
One time when I was a child, I put a bunch of soap to make my face look white to see what I would look like. And then I washed it off. I was like, no, my color is beautiful. Like, I wouldn't change it for the world. Like, but it was just hard to really love yourself, because it's like, where do you fit in with your white friends? You're the black girl, but with black people, you sound white, or you're this or you're that. They label you, or like, they just make you feel like a loser. Like, mm-hmm. basically, like, mm-hmm. you're not accepted either way. Or they'll be like, oh, you're not black, or you're not black enough, or it's just different things. That makes it really hard to, like, see, like, where do I fit? Where do I, you know?
On that note, right, because I feel like this is a huge thing that's going on every day, because different cultures are falling in love with each other, and that's totally fine. We're all humans at the end of the day. Where are you now with it? Like, how have you overcame that? Have you overcame that, or are you still struggling with that? Like, because, I want you to hopefully give someone some hope, because me, outside looking in, even though you've dealt with that and that's been a struggle, I feel like, to me, you look like you're in an amazing place now, where you've really just, you appreciate yourself. You've came in terms that this is what I am and this is what it is and I'm happy. Like, but are you there?
I think I've come a long way. There's always room for improvement. If you ever say, like, yeah, I'm here, then you can't even do better, because you think that's good enough. Okay. But I think there's always room for improvement. Like I cut all my hair off, because my hair was a big thing to me. Like I told you, I would cry if my hair wasn't perfect. I was very insecure. The chemo took my hair out. I handled it well, but I only cried once. But I handled it pretty well, considering how my hair was like my worth. I've always thought I needed long hair to be beautiful. And I basically just had my boyfriend shave my head, and it was to represent letting go of all of that. Like,
so you had long hair and you kind cut of, it all off.
Yeah. I had like a little big puff, and I posted it on Instagram, and I had Xavier, my boyfriend, your son.
Yay.
Okay. Yep, sorry, that was cheesy, yeah. But he shaved my head, and that was to represent me letting go of all the abusive relationships, self-hate, all of the pain, depression, all the things that I struggle with. And then, like, my little hair growing back represents my journey ahead, my new growth, my new beginnings, a fresh new start. Because once I survived cancer, thanks to God.
Yes.
I remember a month later, it started to grow back. And I was like a baby, it felt like. And my eyelashes were growing back. Yes.
Because I know, because we're, okay, I don't know. I hope you guys are following us, because there's a lot here.
Yeah.
No, yeah, there's a lot here. So Val opened up with her poem, her beautiful poem.
Thank you.
Yes, that was actually deep. Then she talked about how she got cancer and how now she survived it. And sounds like you said, you survived also, feeling confused and not knowing where you fit, being a half, you know, interracial, being, right, is that, am I saying that right?
Biracial.
Biracial.
Yeah. Honestly, like, for some reason, I just hate
And I didn't want to say that. That's why I kept saying black and white.
It's not racist or anything. It's fine. Like, okay, people just, that's just a term. Yeah. But I just hate it, like, being called biracial or
interracial. I know, and I've never said that.
No, I don't take offense to it.
No, I know you don't, but you know, because
we have to go by, like, even black, like, and white. Like,
our own stuff
nobody
today.
Is actually white. Like, they're a color, you know?
Yeah, exactly,
nobody's actually black. Like, they're just brown. I feel like you're brown. You're, you know, it's a skin tone. But I get what you're saying. Like, I'd always just say I'm mixed. But yeah, I think we're all mixed, honestly.
Yeah, I'm Panamanian.
But it's just society that makes us separate, divide, and label each other and judge each other and stereotypically be like, oh, that person's black. I'm going to follow them in a store. They might steal. Like, yeah. That's just ignorant. Like, you're judging a book by its cover.
Yeah.
And that's just the society that we live in.
Yeah,
and
unfortunately.
Yeah.
So, okay, so you were saying, so she just expressed how she cut all her hair off because it's part of her new beginning,
yeah.
her freedom, and starting something new,
mm-hmm.
right, in your life. So she survived cancer, which is amazing, like you just said. How long did you go through the battle with cancer? Because they told you. You told me that they said that many people don't survive the cancer that you had.
Yeah. Well, I think I had it for a while, but I didn't know. I remember my senior year, like, before the tumor formed, it was very, like, tender there.
Mm.
Like, if only it wouldn't hurt, but, like, if I tapped it a little, I'd be like, ooh, that feels funny. But I just ignored it.
Wow.
And then over the years, it grew. And then I did 6 months of two types of chemotherapy. I did 33 days of radiation as well. And then I remember before Christmas, I finished my last chemo. So I believe it was either my 19th or 20th birthday. It was supposed to be really special.
So young.
And it wasn't special at all. Like, I was in a toxic relationship. I was so excited. I had a brand new wig on my birthday. I remember getting liquor.
They told you that it was in remission or?
Oh, no, they said I was good. And then,
wow.
Yeah, I remember I got liquor thrown in my hair. I was verbally, while I was going through cancer, my partner, I remember he would slap the back of my head, make jokes, laugh, think it was funny. I remember there was like a point where I was going to the hospital alone. I would see, like, I was surrounded by a bunch of children that were sick, so I wasn't alone, but I felt alone. I'd see them with their families. I would be at the hospital by myself. His sister would come with me sometimes. He didn't start coming until the end, like, once it was almost over.
Yeah.
But,
So while you're going through the most scariest, most hurtful time of your life, you're also being abused, basically.
Yeah. And
emotionally abused.
I'd have to go to the hospital every day, except for weekends for radiation. And if my temperature, I used to have a port, it's something that they stick in your chest right here. And because you have to check your blood counts, and I'd have to get blood transfusions, big needle, they numb it sometimes, they stick it in your chest.
Oh my gosh.
And basically, if my temperature got too high, it doesn't matter, it could be 4 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, I'd have to get rushed to the hospital because I could die. I remember one time I was really sick in pain and my temperature was high and it was just, I didn't have money, so I'd have to call the ambulance to go, and that's, you know, it was just too much. And I was like, I'm just not coming in. Next time I saw my doctor, I told her what happened. She yelled at me because she said,
you
a little
could have died.
Yeah, she said, you can't do that. A little boy just died this week because we didn't catch an infection in time. He had a fever. You need to come in. Whenever
because
your temperature
of everything
gets too
you were
high.
Going with or dealing with at home where you were, you was just like, it's just too much work.
Yeah, we were living in the Bronx. We didn't have any money. It was hard. My grandmother was, if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't have any money or any way to get to the hospital. Columbian Presbyterian was amazing. They took really good care of me, but it was really
getting
hard.
There,
it was a
nightmare, basically.
Yeah. And so to get to the point where, and then I also had another cancer scare when I was 23 or 24. I don't remember the exact age I was, but I remember I felt like my doctors weren't really helping me. This was the first time I felt like, okay, I'm going to die. The first time I had hope, I'm like, I'm not going to die. I'm going to get through this. I felt really close to God.
This was after the first scare.
Yeah, I was told it came back in the same spot. I had a spot in my lungs that it grew back, and that And they, I don't know, he was talking about doing a biopsy, but it was just a lot. It's just, I don't even get into that.
Yeah,
but it was pointless. Like, a biopsy, and it may not even find anything because it was so tiny. And I was like, well, if you know this is cancer in my leg, it came back in the same spot, check that first. And I kind of felt like I had to tell my doctor what to do. And if I would have never gone through it the first time. No. It was in the Bronx. I felt like if I didn't tell him what to do, like, it would have been really bad. So I was, like, grateful that I went through it the first time. Because what they did was they removed the tumor, they tested it, and then after that they started the treatments right away. He was... And a month later I ended up pregnant. So, oh, abort the baby, you're going to die, it's going to grow and pop out of your skin. He basically lied to me because the last time it was way bigger and it didn't do that. But if I would have never had, you know, the type of cancer that I had before, I would have got scared into an abortion. And then my son wouldn't be here. And he's, like, got the biggest, happiest smile. And he's so beautiful and cute. And I also felt like my daughter was a miracle baby because the radiation went over one of my ovaries. So they told me I may not be able to have kids.
Wow.
So I look at both of my children as miracles. Definitely. And Everything but it was hard.
Happens for a reason. No matter what, like, you can't stop someone from coming into this life if they're meant to come into this life.
Yeah.
And that's what happened with your two children.
I told him, you're not gonna do any... Then all of a sudden, he wanted to give me treatment while I was pregnant. And I was like, oh, so I get a miscarriage, right? No, you're not killing my son. So
that is weird.
Yeah, I had to use, like, scriptures like, God knew us in the womb. I don't believe in that. It was like three doctors in a room trying to pressure me. And I feel like a lot of women get pressured into abortion and have a lack of faith and trust in God. So they'll make a decision that they can't take back and will suffer from depression and wondering what will my baby look like. And I had a miscarriage also when I was 18. So that's another reason why I felt strongly about keeping my child. And I was like, you know what? If he's not meant to be here, I'll miscarry again. And I'd rather that than let them, you know, lay me down
and
give me a pill or something like that. So, long story short, I had the baby. They removed the tumor, and the doctor was like, there are no cancer cells. You're 100% cancer-free. So,
had you have gotten rid of your child...
At one point...
They weren't even accurate about what they were saying.
Exactly. Well, he's like, we all tested it. You had cancer... this type of thing doesn't normally happen. That's basically what he said. And he was like, I was so angry with you. I wanted you to have the abortion. But now that I see you, as I bring my kids to the doctor's appointments with me, you're beautiful children. And I was thinking to myself, I remember being so stressed out. And I was on the phone asking my dad, like, what do I do? I remember I asked this man named Rum that baptized me. When I was 19, I remember I had the tumor on my leg at the time when I got baptized, but he told me to follow what I felt in my spirit, because at one point I didn't know what to do because there's so much pressure on me. I had a bunch of people, like over 5 different people, telling me to abort my son. Wow. So, yeah.
You know how I feel about that. In our closing, I would definitely just drop, like, what a message that you have here. I mean, I know that we're all over the place, which is good because this is what this is about. It's a podcast. It's being real. It's being open. It's like two girlfriends. We're in my home. We're on the couch, and we're just kicking it. And she's basically giving me her testimony. Mm-hmm. But there is definitely a few messages in Valerie's story. And one of them, I'll start by saying to believe in yourself and listen to your spirit, because people don't always know what they're talking about. They don't know. Your spirit will never lie to you.
The doctor is not God. You don't.
Exactly.
People trust the doctor because they have these PhDs or masters, whatever it is, but honestly, the more they do to you, the more they get paid. And I felt that vibe in my spirit that I needed to go somewhere else. And at the end of the day, God has the final say-so.
Yes, he does.
So I remember it was just like so many people telling me, do this, do this, do this, do this. There was so much pressure to do it. But those people are not God. So it must have been some type of God within me telling me, like, don't do that.
That rose up in you and said, do not.
And mind you, I was a single mother, struggling already with my daughter, I was doing it on my own. The guy I was pregnant by had another girl pregnant at the same time. I was alone. But
so you were dealing with a lot of other,
I couldn't work. Yeah, I couldn't work because of the tumor, my condition. I didn't have the finances. I didn't have enough help. But family eventually, stepped in, helping me still to this day with my children. Thank God. But at the time, I couldn't do it.
The strength of a woman, though. I mean, this, you're just saying this like it's just, you're just telling the story. I get it. But, I mean, this is some heavy stuff.
I remember being pregnant with my son, with the tumor on my leg, pushing a stroller by myself. Just basic, simple things. Like
just getting through.
Yeah.
What gave you the strength, though? Like, when you look back now, like, was it the children? So, you know, I can't fall right now, right?
Like, I knew if I didn't pull through, that neither one of their, fathers were helping. So I felt like I was all that they really had, and I had to, like, keep it together. And
but that's what real moms do.
I tried my best. That's all I could really do.
And you did it. Yeah. You did it because they're still here. They're still alive. You're an amazing mom.
Thank you.
And you did what real, and that's real talk because, I mean, there's mothers that just give up and they abandon their child and they just keep going and act like they weren't there. There's mothers that literally kill their children because they feel that, they feel worthless. So they're like, I have nothing to give these kids, and they kill them. So, there's a lot of positivity to pull out of this.
And also fear, like, oh, I got pregnant by, like, the wrong person, or I don't have the money, or it's just a lot of other factors, too.
That was weighing against you heavy.
Yeah.
But you kept going.
Yeah. I just had to do what I felt in my spirit.
With nothing. Yourself.
Yeah.
But your spirit and the will to keep going.
Yeah.
And you did it. I mean, you did it with that, then with fighting cancer. I mean,
I was in another bad, even though I was single, I was still looking for love in the wrong places, which goes back to not having my parents and not truly having that self-love growing up. And so I would turn to black men to love me, and I just end up abandoned and even
because
worse off.
Because you're the wrong black man.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Not all black men are the same.
Right?
My boyfriend, he's black. And
we're going to get into that.
Yeah. Because that's another stereotype.
Exactly.
Like, black men don't take care of their kids. And I've seen single black fathers. I don't know how common it is, but it's possible.
Yes,
it has nothing
to
do with your color.
Trust me.
Yeah.
I was going to say, me and you, God could relate a lot. And I've met some amazing black men who do just as well as women, actually. And I admire that. I mean, I could say my dad, too. My dad, I mean, he wasn't the greatest growing up because of what my mom did. And now, as I'm older, I realize that, he's just human. And, he was dealing with things the best way that he could. But he kept us together. And he held it down. He's holding me down. So, it's definitely some amazing black men. But I just wanted to weigh in on the heavy stuff in your life so that way people could really see that, when they see the visual, because I know I'm not sure if they could hear the heaviness in your voice, but when they see the visual of such a timid, beautiful young woman that you are, and when I say timid, because you're so shy and, very soft-spoken unless you need to speak, but when you speak, you come with a lot of strength and power, and I don't think that you really see that yet, but it's in you, obviously, because you're a survivor, you're a warrior, you've been through, what are the period times, the time span of when you were dealing with the cancer and having your children, what was it? Within 10 years or 5 years, like, what is the time span? Like,
let's see, I was 19, I think the first time, and the second time I was like 23 or 24.
So from 19 to what, 25?
Yeah, I guess 24.
24,
really.
So 19, 20, 22. Besides your childhood and your upbringing, not saying that it was bad, but just that confusion of not really having that balance that you needed, but you know, parents or their grandparents not really knowing, just doing what they knew best. That's just one area though, because this is like, I truly know that your foundation is everything. So not having that total stable foundation, to going into having cancer, having kids that people are telling you to abort, making it out of that is, you need a battle. You need an award. With the Freedom of Truth Award.
Thank you.
Seriously.
With my daughter, I was in college, and I was getting pressure to abort her as well. I was in school, I was doing really good in graphic design because I'm an artist. I draw, I paint. I feel like my hands are gifted ever since I was little.
I drew.
And I wasn't so great in high school, but in college I was doing my thing. And I went to really finish and follow through, but I decided not to abort her. I got cut off financially. I ended up coming back to New York. I ended up getting kicked out from, family. And then I remember I was homeless with my daughter. I ended up in a shelter with my daughter. And I decided to go through that struggle instead of being selfish, like, oh, I'm gonna... No, because God gave me her for a reason. Mm-hmm. And if you're woman enough to have sex, you gotta find a way. You gotta take responsibility, accountability for your actions. So I was like, I'm gonna just have faith. And it was rough. It was not easy. But in the end, it's worth the struggle. She's so smart and beautiful, and she's doing so well in school. I wouldn't change
anything,
you know, for the world. But I had a lot of pressure on me to abort her also. Wow. I remember I was in a shelter, couldn't stay there. Try to go to DSS, get help, they wouldn't help me. Her father wasn't helping me.
Why wouldn't DSS help you?
They didn't help me find a place to like stay until I showed up. My mother helped me with all of my stuff, and then they placed me in a shelter that I could stay. I had to go in temporary. Then from there, they helped me get a place, and then that's how I ended up in Yonkers, the struggle. And
another struggle began.
Yeah. And then that's how I had my own place. And, you know, I remember my sister also came to move in with me. I was working. And then right when everything started to get good, oh, I'm working. You know, I have a help with my daughter, blah, blah, blah. All of a sudden, boom, the tumor's back. Wow. So it was just like, I would get knocked down and then rise back up. Knocked down, rise back up. After the, I'm cancer-free, no cancer cells. Shortly after that, I end up losing my kids.
And this is so much. Yeah. You lost your kids.
Yes. They're with family now.
They're with family?
Yes.
So I wasn't sure if you wanted to talk about that. That's why I was going to skip over it.
Yeah, it's okay.
Oh, really? Okay. So, I'm going to let you go then. Go ahead.
I was under a lot of spiritual attack once I stopped having sex. I was trying to be celibate. I was trying to change. I started, there's just a lot of thoughts that come to you, and I didn't have any discernment to know like what was going on. And when you tell people a lot of people don't believe in spirits or demons and stuff like that, and they'll think you're crazy. Mm-hmm. And I ended up getting, long story short, I ended up getting sent to a mental hospital, and while I was in the hospital, my children ended up in foster care. And my family got them out, so they're now like with family.
So, so when you say that you were getting attacked, you know, spiritually,
I saw spirits. Like my daughter would. It started out like my daughter, before it got crazy, my daughter would wake up 3-4 o'clock in the morning, screaming, acting like something was there, but nothing was there, and I felt so like I'm upset with myself. I'd be like, "Go to bed. What's wrong with you?" And I'd still make her sleep in that playpen. And then, like, as time went by, like, it got worse. Mm-hmm. She would, like, go, my feet. Like, something was in the bed touching her feet. And I didn't know what was wrong with her. She was only 3 years old. Mm-hmm. And then she would say, snake. Like, she would just, like, wake up scared. One time she was so scared I had to take her out of the bedroom, and we had to sit in the living room. And then I put her back to bed. But then eventually, I started to see things. I remember it was so crazy in the house. I'd have them sleep in the bed with me. Normally, they'd sleep in their own bed. And I remember I fell asleep, woke up to seeing a creature sitting in her playpen staring at me. Now, I sound like a crazy person, so when you tell certain people...
Okay, you shared that.
I was so scared, I called, you know, Daystar, when you could call for prayer.
Yes.
This is how I knew I wasn't crazy. When I called, the lady was like, I told her, there's something in my house, can you pray for me, I'm scared. She said, there's one in a playpen. For one, I told you I have kids, how do you know how old they are? How did you know I had a playpen in my house?
This is what you said to the people.
That's what the lady said.
She said, say anything, and this is what they told you.
She said, "There's one in the playpen," so that confirmed what I saw. And then she said, "They are in your bed." And my son's father at the time, when we would sleep in the bed, he doesn't even believe in stuff like that, and he's my only witness. He said things would touch us in our sleep. He was scared. I remember he was like, he doesn't even know about stuff like that. I'm like, you coming in my house with sage, like trying to help me, like. You're not even like a spiritual person, like that. It was just funny to me, and I remember
That's how real it was.
And, yeah, when you're told you're crazy, you start to think, well, maybe I was crazy. Maybe, you know, because I was under a lot of pressure. I was struggling. I remember after the surgery, my stitching came undone. I had a hole in my leg, a deep hole in my leg, and I had to stuff it, and I could barely walk. It was just hard, you know. But I remember one time he said my daughter had a baby swing. Mm-hmm. And he said to me, he was like, remember that one time Leah was asleep in the swing and something was shaking the swing to wake her up? I was like, I thought I was all, I'm not crazy. Yeah, I do remember that.
Your ex-boyfriend?
Yeah. He is my only witness that something was in that house. I've literally, it was like, I felt like my life was like a scary movie. I literally saw like a shoe lift up and drop. I wasn't able to see the spirit, but I literally heard the snake hiss. And I was like, and remember like when my daughter was like, mommy, snake, snake, snake. And I'm like, what's wrong with you? But I was just spiritually blind to it.
So guys, I don't know if this may be too heavy for you.
You may not believe me.
But I'm telling you right now.
It was a lot.
We live on a planet. Let's get that straight. And we're in a very spiritual world. A lot of people don't like to take heed to that, but it's real. The spiritual world is real. Facts.
And when you try to give your life completely to God, it's not going to be like a walk in a park. Everything is going to just be magical. There's these spirits that think that they own you, and they've had a stronghold and bondage over you for so long. So once you stop doing certain things, the devil will just throw anything and everything at you, will turn your own family against you.
Yes.
And you won't even understand why. Yeah. And it was to the point where I wasn't sleeping, I wasn't eating, I was sick. So
What happened? Did you find out what, because obviously, guys, for people who don't know and just totally virgins to this type of talk, it's real. And a lot of times you have to understand that if something like this, if you're relating to what Val is saying and you have no spiritual background, you need to go seek and find some spiritual help. Because at the end of the day, they don't come up with all these scary movies. They don't pull them out of the sky. It's a dark world, and there's a light, and there's a world of light. There's a God and there's a devil. There's evil and there's good. Regardless if you don't want to believe it or not, it's real. So you have to keep yourself covered. You have to have a spiritual life. You have to always think positive, because when you think negative, you give the foothold for the enemy to come in with all his little critters and creatures, so that way he could freaking terrorize your life.
Yeah.
And if you don't know, then it'll just keep on happening, and then you'll think you're crazy because everybody else around you are ignorant to these type of things. So they'll be like, oh, you're just doing this, or maybe you're just imagining this, or, you know, maybe you need to stop looking at things that you're looking at, or thinking the way you think. No, at the end of the day, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but with evil
principalities
mm-hmm. in dark places. And that's why they're so easy to come into people's lives that are ignorant towards this, because they know that you don't have a spiritual life. So you don't have nothing to fight with. Because when you're dealing with these spiritual places, these dark places, you need a heavy spiritual life. And this has nothing to do with religion. Let's keep it real, because I'm not a religious person. I'm a very deeply spiritual person. So when you talk about this, this is a whole nother subject. This needs to be a whole different kind of talk and podcast. Because I could sit here and talk about my spiritual dark world that came and tried to take me out. But I know that you're not crazy. I know that this type of things exist. And how did you ever find out what was the root to that? Like, where was this coming from? Because whenever you hear snakes, that's witchcraft.
Yeah, it was revealed to me. My daughter told me.
Okay.
And I know that sounds crazy.
No.
But I remember I had
She's gifted.
She is.
She's gifted.
And this is how I say my daughter told me. I was praying, and on the TV, they're saying, as I had the Daystar on, and they're saying that we had the power to call upon angels to help us. I never knew that. Like you said, it's important to have spiritual knowledge and yes. some type of spirituality. So I tried it for the first time in my life. And I'm there praying in my living room floor, crying to God. And my daughter said, "Mommy, look, they're doing this." And with her little fist, she's doing this. And I was like, "What?" And my prayer was, "Please use your angels to fight what I can't see and send them back where they came from."
Wow.
So after that, she's like, "Mommy, they went to Mrs. Jewel's house."
That's when that?
That was an ex-boyfriend's mother.
What?
And she'd always talk about witchcraft, and she'd say, "Oh, this person put it on you, and that person put it on you." And wow. It's not normal, like, for people to normally talk about stuff like that, no. But a preacher that I spoke with also told me that it was witchcraft as well. But the way she worded it was, "Oh, you were fixed." And I said to her on the phone, "What do you mean fixed?" She said, "Witchcraft. A woman," she basically described her personality, and I didn't really tell her much about her. But she said she pretends that she loves you and that she likes you so much, but she secretly does not like you. She hates you. It's funny because it was just a random stranger that I met in McDonald's, and we just started talking, and she's like, "Oh, my mother, she's a pastor or a preacher or something like that." And she called her up, and then I was talking to her, and I was telling her how, you know, I'm like going through a lot, I lost my kids, and she said, "Oh, the witchcraft, you were fixed." And she said, "You have to fight hard because those demons are trying to work you back up into the mental hospital."
Wow. And she didn't know nothing?
No, I told her a little about it.
Oh, you told her? Okay, okay.
My situation, like, you know, I lost my kids while I was in the mental hospital, you know, the spirits, and she's like, "Oh, you were fixed." She's like, "It was witchcraft." And she's like, "Oh, did he ever hit you?" I was like, "What are you talking about? This is before I got hit from my boyfriend." So she prophesied it. Like, she could see things without me even telling her. And I'm like, how did she know that? How did she describe this woman when she's a complete stranger on the phone? So that's when it gave me more confirmation that it was witchcraft, that it did come from her, because she acted like she was my best friend. She sent me money while I was struggling, pregnant. So I was really hurt by that.
You was hurt by that.
Yeah.
Like, wow, you just never know who you're in the company of. You just don't know. And it's scary. I mean, and I can relate. So.
I was also speaking to psychics, and I never did that until after I started dating her son. Wow. So and that's something he would do. So whoever you're around, you have to be really careful because you don't see what they have attached to them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you started dealing with psychics.
Yeah.
Just to find out what
was
going on.
I would ask them about him. Mm-hmm. I would always ask about him. Oh, and they would lie to me. They'd tell me bits of truth. And then they even tell me about my daughter. "Oh, your daughter is gifted. She can see the unseen." And they tell me stuff like that. And it's just...
Wow.
Yeah.
So, before because we're coming to a close, guys, I could sit here and talk to Valerie all the time, all day, I mean. But we're going to, after hearing this heavy, heavy story, because I know there's many, many of women and men out there that could relate to this woman's story, we're going to shift into the positivity. And you know what? I can't even say, because I don't want to even say that was, even though it sounded really negative, what you just was talking about, it made you who you are today. Mm-hmm. And you are this amazing woman that has overcame hurdles that I know people would have died in. I mean, there is such a heavy combination. you're talking about coming up in her foundation where she was, uncertain of and unbalanced because of the different, having a black mom and a white dad. Then she sounds like she got into these abusive relationships where, because of the shaky foundation, the wrong men, the wrong black men, and then on top of having the wrong relationship, men, choice of men, their mothers, one of the mothers were jealous.
That's what the psychic told me. I didn't believe it. I spoke to a psychic. Oh, a very jealous woman put witchcraft on you. It's to ruin your health. The cancer came back. To ruin your finances and your love life. And all of those things.
But what else? Why would a mom do that to someone who's with their son? I mean, what kind of sickness is that? But this is the kind of world that we're living in. People are wicked. And this is why I felt that it was so important to bring Val on. And I'm happy that she's sharing, because at the end of the day, people need to understand, this may seem very far out to you, but it's really not. There are places in the inner city and all over, and I know you guys have came across women that gypsies, or not even gypsies, just people in general, that are asking to read your palm. Stay away from that. That's witchcraft. There are stores I know literally that sit on corners that you can go in and you can cast spells on people. These things exist. It's real. You have to believe in something. You have to have some kind of spiritual foundation. You have to believe in something, which is God. You have to. Whatever your beliefs, I know people have different beliefs, as long as it's positive. I know Buddhism, right? There's Buddhism. I know Catholic. There's all kinds of different religions. At the end of the day,
Muslim.
I don't have anything against any of those things. My whole point is, and I was taught this a long time ago, we all worship the high in different names. The one that's above of all. You know, the one who makes all things possible. We all worship him differently, and he has a different name. I call him God. At the end of the day, believe in something positive and real. Don't go to the dark side. There are wicked people out there that are casting spells, that's wishing bad on you, even if they're not casting spells. They're constantly in their head over and over again, wishing harm on people. What you think, you'll be surprised how powerful what you think and what you say on someone may possibly come to life. Mm-hmm. So you have to constantly, every day, get up, say, this is going to be a good day. Anything, anybody that's saying harm or wishing harm on me, I cast it down. Because there are wicked people out there that are wishing bad things on you. So you always have to protect yourself. So here it is, this innocent young girl, just trying to go through life and try to figure out life and live it the best way that she can, was constantly having these bad energies coming against you.
I didn't understand why.
And you didn't understand why. Mm-hmm. But you beat it.
And you know why? Because of what you said. The only thing that I could have been dead, the only reason why I'm alive right now and got through it, is because of the Most High. That's the only reason why. If I wouldn't have had that, like you just said, I would have been done for. I wouldn't be here. I also suffered from depression. I would have killed myself. Because there was at points where I was crying to God in so much pain, wanting it to stop. God, kill me now. Kill me. I can't do this. But if it wasn't for God, or believing, or some type of spirituality, I would not be talking to you right now.
You'd be dead.
Exactly.
And you channeled in. She channeled in on something so supernatural, something we can't touch, see, but we can feel, though. Mm-hmm. You can feel when you channel into that light, that positivity. And I thank God that you were able to do that. And for any woman and man that's listening in now, it ain't over till it's over. Don't believe the lies that the enemy tries to tell you. Because at the end of the day, you call it whatever you want to, but it's basically the negative thoughts that come into your mind. Don't believe them. Just to keep it real simple.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, believe what's positive. Believe that you can do, that you can overcome. Because this is what Val did. She overcame all those dark ugly thoughts, the things that was done all around her life, the thoughts that was being said to you that you didn't understand, but you overcame because you tapped into something that was so positive, something that was so real. And that's why you're here today. And to shift, because obviously, I know you guys want to know, how was she able to still stand through all of this? Because this is a true story. There is a light at the end of this tunnel, and this is what Freedom of Truth is about. What is the light, Val? Because you are such an amazing artist. You're an amazing person. What's going on now in your life?
Basically now, you know, I'm working. I have a nice job. Back in Yonkers, I was too sick to work. Just having a job in general is a blessing. So I'm working. I did a couple of photo shoots. I'm getting back. I gave up on my dreams completely. I gave up on my art. I gave up on myself. I lost myself. I'm finding my identity, I'm finding myself in God, I'm finding and healing, and I've been working on, I did a painting, I've been doing more, if you look on my Instagram, you'll see my art, restarting my YouTube channel, I'm doing things that I love to do. I'd always put other people before me that didn't have my best interests, and now I'm taking care of myself, because if you don't love yourself and take care of yourself, everything else will fall apart. You have to love yourself, and because we are all in God's image, we're all God's children. Nobody's perfect, and you just gotta have that inner
love,
and that's something that I didn't have. So I went looking for it in other places, and it was very dangerous for me.
And you got that medicine. It was all in you.
Be patient, because once I got out of, you know, holding on to something and the wrong person, someone that hit me, literally spit in my face, accused me of cheating all the time when I wasn't cheating. Like, and then feeling like, oh, I'm going through this loss with my children. Oh, this is the person I had a child with. I have to make it work. It's going to get better. And you got to put your foot down and really love yourself, because once you love yourself, you won't tolerate abuse. You realize I have enough God is enough for me.
Right.
And once I realized that, and I decided to be alone, God blessed me with like the first amazing relationship in my life. Like, I never knew men like that existed.
Wow.
You know, he never calls me out of my name. You can find somebody that doesn't cheat on you. You could find somebody that doesn't call you outside of your name. I was always with people that would call
and
me names.
Loves you
and,
for you and want to see you grow as a person.
Not just want to get in your pants. We didn't even do all that. Like, it started off as like a friendship. And I'm like, oh, he's not my type. Then once you get to know somebody on the inside and build up that trust and that bond, everything else about them becomes beautiful. And I never experienced that. It would always start with physical attraction in all my other relationships. So I never thought I'd find love. I wasn't going to find that until I started to love myself and accept myself for who I am, feel comfortable in my skin, with hair, without hair, it doesn't matter.
Amen to that.
So,
yep.
Everything's been going up.
Everything's just been going up from there, and where she started was that she found herself first, because without knowing who you are, you can't give back to anybody else. That's
exactly.
Just the bottom line. And I'm proud to say that the man that she's met is my son, Xavier Simmons, and you guys all know about his past, and it's a mutual thing, you know. Not until he found out who he was and what he deserved is when they found each other, and I've literally watched that bloom. They're very inspirational to me, because I've been single for a very long time, and because I'm on that journey that you've put yourself on in, taking time for myself, getting to know myself, and so to know that that's, you know, and I did that on my own, so I'm so grateful that God now showed me an example of two people who came together because they took that journey in finding their self, getting to know their self, shutting people out that don't treat them the way they deserve to be treated, or don't see things the way you see, because at the end of the day, we are our own people. Like, we're on our own in this world, and we're trying to figure it out as an individual. You know what I mean? So it's like, if someone doesn't get us, then bye.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, we're all uniquely made. So if you don't get me, then I don't need you in my life. And that's a big, hard stand to stand on. And I feel like I see you and Xavier doing that, and it's definitely contagious. It's inspiring. And guys, you know, I hope that you got a lot out of this, because one of the biggest reasons why it was so important for me to bring Val on is because she is an inspiration.
She really is.
You really are. Yeah, and it needs to be magnified. Because a lot of times, and I know this is nothing but God's doing, because a lot of times, you know, like myself, we go through things so harsh, so messed up, and we don't want a pity party for ourselves.
Right.
We just want to move on and get through life the best way we can and be happy and make sure that we don't treat people the way people has treat us. And that's what I see you have done. You have accomplished it. You aced it. You're such a beautiful soul. If you don't ever tell anybody about your past, you would never think that people have been so evil and wicked to you. And in that alone, you won. You did that, Val. You did that. The enemy lost. And now you have been blessed. With
my children, everything I couldn't provide for them. I wanted my daughter in like a Christian school. I wanted her to go to school. I wanted them to have their own room. Everything that I couldn't provide for them, they're now with my family. My family, and they wouldn't, and God's restoring my relationship also with my father. We would not talk at all. Now we have no choice but to talk, even if we bump heads here or there, whatever goes on with us. He has my children, so that's something I prayed for also to, you know.
And it's all coming to pass.
Everything happens for a reason, no matter how bad it may seem in the end. It's to strengthen you, to help you.
That's right, Val. And meanwhile, while she's still in her construction mode, because God is, I feel like, reconstructing you into being, you know, who he's making you to be, her dad, which is the one who has custody of her kids right now, you know, he's working on both of you guys. And I truly believe in my heart and soul that you will be reuniting, like, fully and totally with your children when the time is right.
It will be a family healing.
It definitely will.
I think it had to be this way for it to happen, because he didn't even really know my daughter at all.
Wow.
You know?
And now she has a great grandfather.
And they haven't, my son has an amazing role model, not a drug dealer.
No, and your daughter, and it's so important for her to have an amazing man.
Yeah.
I mean, your father, is your daughter is going to see what a real man does.
Exactly.
And yeah, like you said, your son is not going to have a drug dealer. And then when...
right.
And then when
I'm just being honest here.
It's real. Yeah. We being real. It's freedom of truth.
Yeah.
And then when you guys, when you get your children back, you know, and everything is in harmony, you know, your other half is an amazing, I mean, he helped me raise mine. So, I mean, his brothers and sisters. So it's all working together for good. Everything that God has his hands on always works together for the good.
We need There's a scripture on that too.
It is. Yeah. And it's truth. And guys, the Bible is nothing but a manual for us. It's our stories that's in the Bible. People, it's overrated. The Bible's overrated. They look too deep into the Bible. It's people from thousands and thousands of years that put their stories in the Bible like ours, and they're trying to tell you where not to mess up and where you need to do it right at, and people just are just too deep with it. And it all plays out in our lives. Like you said, all things all work together for the good that loves the higher power. That's all it is. You loved God and he worked it out for you. I love God and he worked it out for me. And now we're sitting here and she's blessing my show, Freedom of Truth.
Oh,
and
thank you.
Thank you so much, Val. So in closing, guys, because this was so hearty and good stuff for my spirit and my soul, I have to tell you. I want everyone to be able to find Valerie on her journey to greatness. Please continue to follow her, because this is somebody that you guys are going to look back and say, holy cow, look where she came from. So Val, where can everyone find you?
If you're a woman that's like, feel like you have nobody, you feel alone, you're in an abusive relationship, you don't have family, you need somebody to talk to, download Google Hangouts, or it could just be in your Gmail, and send me an email. It's my name, Valerie, V-A-L-E-R-I-E, DeMaria, D-E, and then Maria, M-A-R-I-A, 122@gmail.com. So it's the same as my Instagram, Valerie DeMaria. Just add the 122@gmail.com so you could message me on Google Hangouts so you know you have somebody to pray for you or just vent. I'm like a diary. You don't have to worry. I just shared my whole story, so you don't have to worry. Also, you can find my Instagram at Valerie DeMaria. And then my YouTube channel is, the name is old from when I was younger. I made it when I was like 16. It's Crazy, M-I-X, as in Xavier. No, I'm kidding. C-U-T-I-E. So it's Crazy Mix Cutie. And that's really, and that's I don't really, and I'm Valerie DeMaria on Facebook, but I'm not always on Facebook and Instagram. Okay. I think Google Hangouts is the
best.
Yeah, but you could contact me at all. It doesn't matter.
Yes, please feel free to contact her. This is what she got a PhD in. She has really, truly lived this, everything that she's talking about. She's very open. She loves helping. So if you, like you said, that person that feels alone, fighting cancer, depression, suicide thoughts, this is the woman to talk to.
You're not
Seriously.
Alone.
Seriously. Yeah. You're not alone.
I had no friends. I thought, you know, my ex was the only person I had. No. It's a lie.
It's a lie.
There's other people out there.
Yes. So we're going to close. Thank you again, guys, for listening in to Freedom of Truth. For the visual, when the visual comes out, thank you for watching us on Freedom of Truth. This is the beginning of my journey, and it's just literally beginning. I have so many more amazing guests that's coming up, and I hope that every single podcast episode inspires you and touches your soul. Because it, everyone that I speak to, in some way, some fashion, form, it touches minds. Until next week, I love you guys. Continue to listen in. Continue to watch us. Continue to watch while we glow up and follow this journey. Love you. Mwah.